Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
It's Mental Health Monday. My name is Mick Coyle. Welcome back to the show. Got another great guest on the show today. Great guests, in fact, who we're going to be talking about. Well, it's an organisation we've spoken to before. They have got a performance which is coming up in Chester, and it's coming up at the end of the month. The Fallen Angels Dance Theatre are back in the studio. We've got Claire Morris from the group in the studio. Claire, it's great to see you. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having us, Mick.
Hey, not a problem at all. You're always busy with Fallen Angels. For people who've never heard about the organisation, tell us about the work that you do.
Sure. So Fallen Angels Dance Theatre, and we work with people in recovery from addiction, from substance misuse, actually all sorts of addictions. And we work across Merseyside, in Chester, and also Greater Manchester. We've got community recovery groups that explore dance theatre, and also we have performances.
You do loads of great work, and previous editions of Mental Health Monday have been dedicated to the work that you've done. The value of what you do to those people in recovery is one of the things that always strikes me when you come on and we meet the people who are involved. They invest so much into you in the same way that you invest into them.
Definitely. It's definitely a two-way street. And so Fallen Angels came about because of Paul Bays-Kitcher's recovery journey. So he's the artistic director, and he was in Birmingham Royal Ballet in his career. And it was through his addiction and subsequent recovery that he started exploring dance theatre. And then that really opened out to working with people in recovery. And so it's a shared journey, we like to think. And we become like one big family, really, where everybody's contributing, we're buzzing off ideas with each other. And we just find that actually people in recovery from addiction are amazing, and their stories are so extraordinary that it's just so rich for creativity and exploration. So it is. We think that everybody's a recovery artist.
But you're not playing school fates in Christmas play. You're playing proper theatres. So your story, your backstory, and the backstory of the organisation is one thing. But it's got to be, you know, quality level of performance that people come in, buy tickets to see a performance, right?
Absolutely, yeah. High quality dance theatre experiences. So, you know, we're really about breaking down barriers. So this autumn, we've been working, the very first performance actually we did this autumn was it with Birmingham Royal Ballet at the Hippodrome, which was very exciting. And then we moved on to now Northwich. So we were out in the streets of Northwich. So we try to also take, you know, what we do and our message to people, not just in theatres. And then we moved on. Joe, who you're going to meet in a minute, and Nicolette performed at the Science Gallery in London. And that's a season called Hooked. And that was about art and science coming together to explore addiction. So that was another thing. So we're always kind of, you know, trying to explore different ways you know, of sort of having conversations really with the public around addiction and recovery. And then that performance is coming to Story House this year.
So this is the prestigious Story House in Chester, the 28th of November, Acts of Recovery. And we've got Joe, as mentioned by Claire Morris. Joe Kirkby joins us on the programme. Joe, thank you for your time. Great to meet you. Thanks for coming on board.
Thank you.
Tell us about how you first got in contact with Fallen Angels. When was that first point of contact with them?
The first point of contact was, I remember I went to the recovery walk and I saw Fallen Angels performing there, and I thought, oh, I really want to try that, I really want to do that. And then someone else I knew who went along, and I kept thinking, oh, I really want to go, I really want to go. And then, but I was relapsing, and I kind of thought, oh, I'll go when I feel a bit better. But then in the end, I ended up in detox again. And I saw a poster on the wall, and then I thought, do you know what? I'm going to go this time. And I went, and I just absolutely loved it straight away. It wasn't what I was expecting. I was expecting, like, you know, like routines and moves and stuff, and it was more like improvisation and just movement. But yeah, I absolutely loved it straight away.
So did you have a background in performance? Had it been something that you'd done in the past?
No, not at all. I've never been very good at like performing and drama and things like that. I've always like absolutely hated it, like performing. So no, it wasn't anything I've had a background in. I played a lot of sport My background's been more in sport, so that's why dance appealed to me, for like the physical activity and the movement side of it. So I wasn't really very excited about performing at all. I thought I'd be really, really anxious, and it would terrified me, the thought of performing. But actually, I've been really surprised. I really enjoy the performance side of it now, and I get a little bit anxious, but I don't get like as anxious as I thought I was going to get. And I enjoy it a lot more than I ever thought I would.
So were you aware of the work that Fallen Angels did and the nature of the work that they did?
Not really, no. I thought I was just going on along to like a little dance group that met like once a week. And I had absolutely no idea. Like, I'd seen them perform, but I had no idea of like the scope of Fallen Angels, that there's different groups in like different places like Chester. And I had no idea that they worked with professional dancers as well. I had absolutely no idea we'd be doing like intensive rehearsals for like a week at a time and then like three performances in a week. I just had absolutely no idea of how far it could go, and like, basically all like how, like the places we get to perform as well. Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. So, we touched on some of those venues as well. That was a happy accident, Claire, that Joe saw the work that you did, thought, that would be great for me. I'd love to get involved, and put off getting involved. But eventually, those posters, which you put up, was worth putting those up, wasn't it? She came to you. And then, Joe, presumably when you got to the group and then you realised the nature of the group and the recovery around it, did you think, oh, right, that fits in with me. That fits in with my story.
Yeah. Definitely. I found out about it as well because someone I was in daytime treatment with, they knew one of the other dancers who comes along as well. And yeah, she rang me afterwards. She was ringing me anyway, and it was all like kind of like it was meant to be. So I already knew one of the other people who come along to the group, and then I came along and it was just like, wow, this is like, yeah, it did feel like it was meant to be because I loved it straight away. And yeah, I haven't looked back, really.
No, absolutely not. Just tell us about the show before we talk about your kind of backstory. Just tell us about the show then that you're going to be performing. So you're going to be on stage yourself, mm-hmm. on the 28th. What's the nature of your performance on the night?
I think the title of it is A War Within. So it's about all that inner turmoil that goes on inside of you. So we're trying to express that through our movement. We've already put most of it together, so it'll be bits that we've used in the build up to this performance, so bits from the Birmingham Royal Ballet performance and bits from the Science Gallery performance, and I think we're putting it all together like towards this final performance.
I kind of get the sense there's also like an improvised element as well, so you can't plan too much of it. You know the music, you know what's coming, but if something takes a particular fancy on the night, you might go in a different direction.
How it works really is we start with improvisation. That's what we begin with. We begin with like people can bring in poems or like a little bit of text or a piece of art, and then we can like improvise different types of movement. So say if you were doing quite a dark piece, it would be like loads of resistance, and like the movement wouldn't be very, you wouldn't like say reach out your hand really far for quite a dark movement, because it'd be like you were trudging through something. And so we start with an improvisation, and then from that improvisation, we can put like a little pattern of movement together, and then basically the piece gets built up from those little patterns of movement, and then the composer comes in and we'll put some music to it. So when we do a performance, we usually know pretty much what we're doing, and when we're doing it, there's not as much room for improvisation. Sometimes there's little bits of improvisation, but usually we've got the piece kind of down and practiced and we know what we're doing. But it all begins with improvisation.
You could have just said, Mick, no, I know what I'm doing. Leave it to me. We're not just making it up on the spot. People can see it for themselves. The War Within, coming to the Garrett Theatre Storyhouse. That's in Chester, the Fallen Angels Dance Theatre. We've got Joe Kirkby in the studio, Claire Morris from the organisation as well. Joe, when we talk about acts of recovery as well, you've hinted there about your own kind of backstory. What point in your life did you find that maybe, you know, you were finding issues in your life where maybe you were finding yourself going down particular paths which maybe weren't the right paths for you?
I think I was about 21 when I really realised I had a problem. And I think I was trying to stop, but I was trying to stop by myself. And that was kind of the scary point when I was trying to stop and realising I couldn't stop. And that's when, like, it kind of spiralled out of control from about that age, really, and got worse and worse. And then I eventually came home to move back in with my parents, and I knew I needed help, but I didn't really try and get help. I ended up switching from alcohol to drugs, and then things got a bit better for a bit because I could function again, because I'd literally stopped functioning and I was like suicidally depressed. Things were awful. And then things got a little bit better, but soon the drugs spiraled out of control as well. And I ended up in detox for the first time, I think when I was 27, and thought I was never going to touch another substance again, and thought that was it. But then as soon as I started to feel a bit better, I was just straight back out there, really. Went back to work, and then it was about a year later when things came really tumbling down again. And that's when I went into detox again and went into daytime treatment. And since then, I've been really reaching out for help and receiving help from different sort of support networks in the community. And then that was when I started at Fallen Angels as well. And then since then, it was a struggle for a few years. I just kept relapsing and relapsing and relapsing and thinking, oh, I can't do this, it's not going to work. And like, that was quite a scary place as well, really trying really hard to stop, and getting like 30 days clean, 60 days clean, and just felt like I was getting nowhere and going around in circles. But then I think the last nearly eight months clean, and things have just got a million times better. Like, it's just, yeah, life is just so much easier. It's really turned a corner in the past 8 months.
Well, congratulations on that 8 month period. Absolutely. Yeah. Were you finding during those times of relapse that you were, was it about the addiction, or was it about the place that you'd found yourself in, sort of community, social interactions and things like that? Was there something that was always kind of dragging you back to those darker places?
I think I was stuck in that limbo between wanting to stop but almost not knowing how to cope without a substance, because that's what I've always used my whole life. And I think however much I wanted to, there was still that like compulsion to engage in like using substances. So I was just trying to battle it really myself, and I'd started reaching out for help, but I still hadn't really got, I had a support network, but I hadn't really learned how to use the support network yet, and I was just going around in circles a bit really. And it just takes a bit of trial and error and a bit of practice really. And really, I think I just reached that point where I surrendered and I had enough, and from then on things have just got a lot easier.
In terms of having something else, this is something we were talking about on last week's show, about how if you've got something else to focus on, then you break that sort of cycle, if you like, of sort of addiction and returning to addiction. Mm-hmm. How important has it been that you've suddenly had something where you're thinking, right, I've got an organisation I'm working with here, I'm part of a show here, I've got a long-term goal, I've got a series of events coming up. Has that been helpful to be part of that process?
Yeah, it does really help me. I'd say if I was going to use, there's nothing that would stop me. But having stuff in my life, like, I do receive support elsewhere, but I think that helps me stay clean on a daily basis, whereas I feel like life can get a bit monotonous if I'm just doing that recovery stuff the whole time, whereas I feel like dance, I'm doing something that really gives my life purpose and meaning, like going towards performance, and it adds that little bit extra to life and that little bit of sparkle and that, yeah, something to work towards and a goal to work towards if I know I've got performance and stuff. So, yeah, dance helps me loads as well, because just it's like completely different from everything else in recovery. In recovery, there's a lot of like talking therapies, a lot of, just talking and talking and talking and talking and talking about what's going on for you. Whereas dance, it's like a completely different dimension, because you're there and you dance and you can talk about what's going on as well, and we do, but it's more physical and you're almost putting your experience into movement. So dance provides something completely different. And like when we're doing improvisations as well, it's like I get lost, completely lost in the moment, and time sort of feels like it stands still, and I can have quite a noisy head at times, and dance kind of like I just forget about everything and my head goes really clear and I feel really calm and peaceful afterwards. So I think that's how dance helps me as well.
Claire, something that Joe was touching on before the break was about sort of, I guess when you're in recovery, so much of your mindset is about not doing something, or about how you are trying to fill a gap that was previously filled by something else. When you are offering, you know, the opportunities that you offer through Fallen Angels, I guess you are absolutely saying, well, you know what? It's not about what you're not doing. It's very much about what you are doing, what you're choosing to do. You're talking about improvisation. You're talking about dance. You're talking about being in a moment on a stage, potentially, as well. And that must be hugely beneficial to the people who come through the centre.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, yes, people who engage in our programmes really gain a lot from their experiences. But it's an interesting one, because it does take a lot to get people to that space. So you've been talking to Joe today, who's been with us probably for a couple of years.
A year and a half.
Brilliant. And there's always that moment, you know, if anybody even comes through the door at Fallen Angels, I feel like giving them a hug. Because, you know, just walking through the door when you're in an early recovery is a really scary thing to do. But a lot of about recovery is about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. You know, so even just walking through the door is a really massive achievement. And we're at the Blue Coat Chambers in the Arts Centre in Liverpool. So on a Thursday, 1 till 3. So if anybody does fancy coming along, we won't ever make you dance straight away. Because like we say, you know, we're like a little micro community. So, you know, just come along and meet us and see what we're about. Because it's very much about exploring creativity in your recovery. So like Joe talked about, we talk a lot at the beginning of the session, particularly at the beginning of a project, about the sort of concepts. And we've got some people that have never explored art, so I'm sure that'll blow their minds. But also we've got some amazing, extraordinary people in the group that are very highly artistic. So everybody kind of mutually gains a lot from each other's experiences, but also in terms of art and conceptually, and looking at life in a different perspective can be really a helpful thing that, you know, art brings to your life.
Because, I mean, the word recovery itself, if you think about the potential meanings of recovery, you know, a sense that something has been broken, but it's been rebuilt, and you're hoping that when it's rebuilt in a stronger way. But that's quite that. If you're talking to somebody or talking about somebody who has gone through a very difficult time, recovery is a strong word, isn't it? Because it's not, you're not saying escape the past. Yeah. You're actually talking about recovery, which is basically, look, we rebuild, we go again, and we get you to, you know, a stronger position. Is that fair to say, Joe? Is that fair? I mean, it's only a word, recovery. It might not mean, you know, anything. It might mean different things to different people.
Possibly, yeah. I think my life was kind of completely different before, so the thing about recovery for me is, well, I used drugs because I couldn't cope with life, so now I'm learning to cope with life without a substance. But I'd say for me now, my priorities are much better as well. Like, I know what's important to me now, and that's like staying well and seeing my family and seeing my friends and doing things like dance and stuff like that. Whereas before, my priorities were probably completely in the wrong order and all over the place. So I'd say things were a lot better in that respect, because I know what's important to me now.
And when you find that, and you talk about, you know, the things which now give you strength, do you find that those things, if you remove maybe the dance, then actually that might cause problems? Or if you remove your family or friends, do you find that actually it's all those little pieces of the jigsaw?
Yeah, definitely.
Are the things that give you the best hope?
Definitely. It's all the little bits and pieces of everything I do to try and, like, keep myself well, basically. And I think without any of those little bits, if any one of them went, I don't think it'd be quite the same. I think it's the mixture of all of them and bits of support from here and bits of support from there and doing dance and doing this and doing that. I think it all comes together to create the bigger picture, really.
In terms of the feeling that you get in terms of a high when you come off of the back of a performance, you know, standing ovation, round of applause, whatever it might be, how does that compare to the highs that you were maybe seeking before when you were younger?
It's probably the one thing that actually does kind of, you can compare it to the high of using, really. And as well, you get that high of you're rehearsing all the way up to the performance, you're performing and you do, and you get all that adrenaline, all that excitement, you come off, you're giggly, I'm laughing, I'm dead happy, and then you do get that drop afterwards. So that's, and it's kind of like, as well, dance, it's like an escape, but in a healthy way as well, because you do get lost in it, you do get lost in the moment, you're kind of in that state of flow. But yeah, so it kind of probably is the one thing that I can actually compare in a way slightly to using. But yeah.
It's a natural high.
Yeah, natural high.
I think I got a sense there that it was like a naughty question to ask. She was always regretful about the way I asked her question.
Not at all. I'm sure, I think potentially, but Joe can tell me, you know, I think Joe was talking about it, you know, the performances and the exhilaration, the chemical high that you get from dance is all positive.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously, you know, drug use in the past, you know, was more of a negative. But so I think that's the thing.
But it's part of that, the idea that, you know, you have that high, you have that moment, that appearance on stage, and actually it's up to people like you, Claire, to make sure that the next performance is booked, you know, that you're setting these targets and giving the people to have those opportunities and to get back on stage and to do it again and to experience that again.
Absolutely. So we're always seeking opportunities, and there will be more things next year. And what's really great is we're starting to build some really strong partnerships. So we're company in residence at Story House, for instance. So the door's always open for us to do performances there, and that will continue. So yeah, we've got some great partners in Liverpool as well. So there will always be those continuations. We'll keep ploughing away to get funding to make it all happen, obviously,
of course,
as well.
Which is why people can buy tickets.
Yes, that would help us no end. But I just wanted, if it's okay, just to mention that the reason the performance is called Acts of Recovery is because we've got a few acts within the performance. So Joe talked about The War Within, and that's kind of the half an hour piece, really the keynote piece of the night, with two professional dancers and our recovery artist, Joe, which we're really excited about. But we've also got our community groups will be performing as well. So they've got a performance with mainly Chester Group, but some people from the Liverpool group will be performing, and also some university students from the University of Chester. Graduate dancers are going to come and share the stage with us that night as well. So it's a really great opportunity. If anybody was even thinking remotely, like Jo in her early days of Fallen Angels, of seeing what it is that we do, because the community, you'll see people in our community group performing. For some, they've only been to 6 workshops. And as you can imagine, they're feeling very nervous. Mm. And we will be talking before their performance to say, you know, first time performance for some people, you know, audience, please be very welcoming, because obviously it's very nerve wracking. But they'll be sharing the stage, some of our more experienced members. So they'll be great and fine. And there'll also be a question and answer session at the end. So those are really important for us, to talk to our audience. And if anybody does have questions, we'll be there on the night. There's going to be loads of the Fallen Angels family. So if anybody did just want to have a quiet question about anything we talk about addiction recovery, about our programmes, then people are very welcome to come and find us.
Can I ask you about age group, suitability of the show? Is there anything that people will see within the show which is not suitable for, I'm not saying you're going to take 3 or 4 year olds, but what sort of ages, do you have an age limit?
Yeah, so there's nothing of a sexual or anything nature, but I would say it's very strong in the narrative of emotional content. So I would advise people, we usually say 14 plus, but then, you know, it's really on the discretion of the parents, you know, whether they want to bring their children. I've got children and they've seen it all, but then they see it all the time, so they're a bit different.
People can find out more information via the storyhouse.com website. It's actually storyhouse.com/acts of recovery. You'll find it on the homepage as well. Tickets are £10, £8 concessions on the night, and that's coming up this Wednesday, the 28th of November. That's Wednesday, the 28th of November, getting underway from 7:45. Among those appearing on stage, Joe Kirkby. Joe, thank you for your time. Pleasure to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming in. Claire Morris, thank you for your time. We'll see you again in the new year. Just mention there the blue coat. If people want to get involved and swing by, just stick their head in and have a look, see what's going on. When can they do it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, unfortunately, it is behind a closed door, so you could probably, in the cafe, you'd probably find us all hanging out and having a coffee before 1 o'clock. But it's probably best to contact me first so that we can find you, because we'd hate to think anybody would come along and then not find us. So you can find my details on the Fallen Angels website, or you can get in touch with us via social media. So we've got a Facebook page, we're Fallen Angels Rising on Instagram, and at Fallen Angels DT on Twitter. So do get in touch.
All over social media, fair play for remembering all of those. And if you're thinking, oh, that doesn't sound like me, it's not the sort of thing that I'd be doing, wait until you meet some of the team. And if you think that you were unlikely to be involved in this, wait to meet some of them. When you suddenly think, oh, you would never have thought that certain people within the group would ever have got into that. But they absolutely have, and they found it to be a brilliant experience. Always a pleasure to see you as well, Claire. Thank you for your time. We'll see you again soon.
Oh, lovely. Thanks.
Mental Health Monday from Radio City Talk. Don't forget, the show is available as a podcast. You can download that. You get previous editions for absolutely free. And don't forget, we always do Mental Health Extra. Following on from Mental Health Monday, that'll be available to download on the Tuesday. If you're listening on the Monday, don't worry about it. To subscribe to the podcast too. You're with Radio City Talk.